Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Convenient Engagement by Evie Bennett, narrated by Alexa Elmy. Chapter 1. It's over. This time. I'd always considered the people at my dad's company part of the family. The only family I had left after Dad's passing last week. As a kid, when Dad was stuck in meetings, I did my homework with the secretaries and accountants and helped out around the office. The cleaning crew taught me how to get stains out of my laundry. Everyone there raised me, my photographic memory capturing each smile and lesson. A fair number of them even came to my wedding to a charming coworker my dad had taken under his wing. I wanted to do them and my dad proud. To become a CEO who could take care of them after studying hard to earn my MBA, rising through the ranks, and running my father's company. But all my dreams came crashing down this morning when the company's board of directors, a bunch of millionaires, teamed up with my own husband to sell off the company and toss all those people I loved out onto the street. I stormed out of the boardroom and booked it for the parking garage. Alina! My husband, Todd, chased after me, forcing the car door open and poking the dashboard screen. Where do you think you're going? I pushed him back and tried to fix the settings. I need some time to think. About what? He scoffed. This money is a blessing for everybody. For the board, you mean? It had been heart-wrenching enough when Dad appointed Todd CEO instead of me. But I told myself it was for the best. This company had always been a family to me, while Todd had grown up in a broken home before being disowned at 19. Now he had something of his own, too. At first, I had been eager to help him, just like I had with my dad. Lend advice, share templates, take a meeting, stay up all night to help with a project, study my butt off to get my MBA, and stay on top of business trends. But when my dad's health failed, I couldn't juggle taking care of him, my own job, and covering for my husband while he was busy networking. Our stock suffered, and Todd's version of stepping up involved selling off Dad's and my legacy to the highest bidder within a week of his passing. Selling won't save the company, I explained, trying to keep my voice even. The data in your fifth slide shows a temporary boost, but in 6 months, we'll keep hemorrhaging. I did the numbers. He condescended. You had Paula's new husband do the numbers. Bobby doesn't look at the long-term effects of anything, including adultery. That's why they're both paying alimony. He reeled back, cheeks flushed.
Listen, you were too busy.
My dad was dying. Can't you take responsibility for anything? I pinched the bridge of my nose and took a deep breath. Yelling at each other wasn't going to bring my dad back or save his legacy. The bottom line is, you pushed this deal to the board without researching it properly. And now, Dad's legacy is getting sold off instead of staying with the family. Swallowing hard, I lowered my head, my knees shaking and my heartbeat pounding in my ears. How could Todd do this to me? To the company? To my father's memory? We aren't losing anything. Todd's soft caress left a chilled streak on my cheek.
You'll still be the face of the company. And I'll be the head. Just like Roy wanted.
The sting of my father's expectations burrowed deep. We were supposed to run this company together. Marriage is a partnership, remember? He gave a whole damned speech on it at our wedding. When Todd and I first started dating, he'd been charming and inspiring, especially in group settings. Always pulling out my chair, gushing about my ideas, making sure I was seen and heard at the table. He'd even bring me special treats for being sweet. Now he talked over me,
browsed his phone during my presentations, and had me working on his team so I could basically do everything. Our once great relationship had somehow turned into the world's worst group project. Todd tutted and brushed my bobbed hair out of my face, staring at me with his pale gray eyes. "Sweetie, your dad left things to me because you're too soft to lead. Trust me, we're doing the right thing." Was he kidding? This company was the only thing I had left. The only distraction from my grief. A vehicle to funnel my ambition into, my pride, my love. I gave it and him everything. And this was how he repaid me? Dad and Todd had been thick as thieves, and most women couldn't ask for anything better than the men in their lives getting along. But now I could see that though they were close to each other, neither of them ever really respected me. Todd didn't even respect the company. He wanted to cut corners to get ahead, just like he did with this last business pitch.
"Listen, you have to accept this and come back in. I need you."
He held my chin tightly between his thumb and forefinger, though I stubbornly refused to meet his gaze.
"They've voted, Alina. It's over."
"You know what, Todd? You're right. It is over."
"Well, I'm glad you..."
As soon as he stepped back to give me room to get out of the car, I slammed the door shut and locked it. His eyes popped wide.
"Hey,
Alina.
Wait, what are you..."
The tires screeched as I pulled out of the spot. Todd shouted and kicked my car as I raced towards the highway. Rolling down the windows, I took in a deep breath of fresh air. These high speeds reminded me what it was like to be free. To be in control. Different numbers and scenarios ran through my head. Old lessons from college. Our finance charts, the presentation itself. Maybe I could save the company. Save my family, everything. I clicked my turn signal and tapped the brake to merge. The pedal sprung back against my red-bottomed heel like a trampoline. The car kept speeding. What the hell was happening? I tapped the console to set the auto drive, but Todd kept calling, blocking the screen. Cursing, I blared on my horn, begging the cars in the next lane to make room for me. It was either them or the cement divider. I didn't want to hurt anybody. All I needed was a chance, but it didn't come. I swerved as hard as I could away from the other drivers. The world spinning and screeching before I crashed into oblivion. The impact slammed me upright, but instead of a driver's seat, I was in my old bed. I looked around the room, bewildered. What happened? Kicking off the covers, I pulled up my sweat-soaked pajamas. Why was I wearing my ex's old shirt? I donated it when I got married. Wait a second. Where was my wedding ring? Did Todd reclaim it after the crash and set this up as punishment? Something buzzed on the nightstand. I whipped around only for medium-length hair to whip my cheeks. How long had I been asleep? Fumbling for the phone, which looked suspiciously like the model I'd trashed a few years ago when the battery died, I almost dropped it entirely when I saw the caller ID. Todd wouldn't be cruel enough to set this up, would he? I swiped to answer. Dad? My voice cracked. Am I dead?
What? Of course not.
Dad chuckled, and my heart swelled three sizes. I never thought I'd hear that sound again.
I checked your location and saw you weren't on your way to work yet. Is everything okay?
No. Yes? I pinched myself. Ouch. This wasn't a coma or a dream. I switched my dad to speakerphone and scrolled through my calendar and emails. All outdated. What the? Did that car accident knock me 3 years into the past?
Are you there?
Dad prodded. Yes, but how am I here? I peeked outside. Was this some bizarre alternate reality? Everything looked exactly as it had back then. The high-rise they'd finished last year was only half-built. I bet the pothole that caught my heels every morning was waiting for me in the parking lot. Dad cleared his throat.
Well, when you get into the office, I have a special project I want you to work on.
Okay, I'll be right there. Out of confusion and habit, I almost hung up. But Dad was dead. How could I miss this chance? Oh, wait! I love you! Dad? He sounded bewildered.
I love you too, Alina.
It was exactly what I needed to hear. I curled the phone closer to my cheek.
I'll talk to you at the office, he said. Bye, sweetheart.
The dial tone didn't feel like a guillotine. More like an ellipsis. I had no idea what happened with the crash, but it felt like the universe had given me another chance. I could save the company and earn that CEO spot before Todd could get his greedy little claws into it. And I'd get more time with my dad. My former life was over. It was time to begin again.
Chapter 2. Crashing Into You.
I sped to the office, thankful that my brakes didn't fail this time. Where's my dad? I panted, grinning wildly at his secretary. Cora pointed with her pen.
The conference room. But he said...
Thanks. I sprinted down the hall and snuck through the doors as best as I could, considering the burst of light that accompanied me into the darkened room. Everyone swiveled to look at me. My eyes slowly adjusted, focusing on the man in the CEO chair with horn-rimmed glasses. I sucked in a breath. My dad's cheeks were rosy with health instead of sunken in and gray with sickness. This was my dad the way I wanted to remember him. He was there. Alive. He leaned forward in his chair.
Alina?
He called, two other familiar voices joining him. I never thought I'd hear him say my name again. Placing a hand over my nose and mouth, I stifled the prickly urge to sob with relief or throw myself into his arms. It took all my strength to wrangle that energy into a watery smile and walk over like a normal human being. This was a miracle. A second chance at life. To make Dad proud. To lead. Hi, I whispered, taking his hand. Could I hug him forever? Cry on his shoulder? Make him promise to get the best doctors right this minute so he could spend more time with me. Sorry to interrupt. You said you had a special project for me? I didn't want to miss the meeting.
This one you should skip.
Dad grumbled, grim and evasive as he rubbed his thumb over my knuckles. A younger version of Todd gently tugged my father's chair towards himself.
Why don't you two step outside? I can handle this.
He jerked his head towards the front of the room and smiled. You! I spat, grabbing my father's chair and rolling it away from him.
Yes, me.
Todd raised his eyebrows, chuckling.
Would you prefer a seat? You can have mine, if it's easier to see the screen.
He stood and pulled out his chair for me, half bowing as his pale half-moon eyes twinkled at me. Well, that was kind of sweet. Wait, no! I should want to knock the smile right off his face for what he did to me. Well, what he would do to me, my father's memory and this company. He didn't look too different. Pointed, pretty features, preppy haircut, and... no ring? I couldn't believe this was really 3 years ago. We hadn't even started dating. Soon, though. But he wouldn't lure me in this time. Dad pushed himself up from his chair, wincing as his back cracked.
No, no. We should leave. There's no need for that.
A man at the front of the room passed through the projector light, his attractive silhouette filling out the slides beyond it.
She can stay.
My jaw went slack, as did my grip. 8, or would it be 5, years later? I almost didn't recognize my high school sweetheart, Damon. Back then, he'd borrowed suits for homecoming, draped his too-wide jacket around my shoulders the moment I shivered. His winning smiles never failed to make me feel better. He was nothing like this intimidating man who filled out every inch of his tailored clothes without so much of a hint at any pleasantness as he clicked his smartwatch. Who was this guy? Was he the same sweetheart from the old timeline underneath? Damon pierced me with his cool, even gaze.
Have a seat,
he said, his voice clipped. Wow, that was commanding. And kind of hot? No, weird. Distinctly unsettling. Why was he even presenting at my dad's company? I thought he didn't want anything to do with me or my family. The entire board stared at us, waiting. I pulled out a chair, still shocked. Did I even put on makeup this morning? Sorry, I'll just...
No, no, come with me, young lady.
Dad dragged me out of the room by my wrist. I was so horrified, I barely managed to hiss, "What are you doing?" before I was halfway across the room. Damon's dark glare burned itself on me like a brand as the board members stifled their snickers. If I flung myself out the window, would time reset again? Once we were in Dad's office, I wrenched myself out of his grip. That was totally inappropriate. I'm a board member. I should sit in on stuff like that.
I just couldn't stand him talking down to you like that.
Dad sniffed, crossing his arms.
My daughter deserves to be treated with respect.
And dragging me out of the room was the best way to demonstrate that?
You're right.
His shoulders sagged with a sigh.
I'm sorry. I overreacted. Will you forgive me for being an overprotective father? I just want to make sure you're taken care of.
I blinked, taken aback by the loving, hard-working man before me. He was alive. How could I be anything but grateful we had time together again? I threw my arms around him, squeezing so tight his spine cracked. Oh, sorry. My laugh sounded wet, so I schooled my emotions, laying my cheek on my dad's shoulder. I love you so much. And I love how much you care. But I have to take care of myself sometimes.
All's forgiven then,
he wheezed when I squeezed in affirmation.
Oof, a little less tight. I haven't had my coffee yet.
This was all so normal, yet not. I lost him. Here he was again. After all I'd been through, I really needed a shoulder to cry on. Nuzzling my face into his jacket, I tried to staunch the flood of tears and uneven breathing.
Oh, Alina, I'm sorry.
He patted my back.
Was it that boy, or my handling of the situation?
Sniffling, I pulled back. No, it's not that. Dad nudged the tissue box to me and pressed a button on his landline phone.
Cora, bring Alina a coffee with milk and sugar, please.
I take it black, I said, freezing mid-tissue tab, when he shot me an odd look. Oh, shoot. I used to drink it like that. This timeline stuff was throwing me off.
Hmm, Okay, black.
Dad released the button, studying me with a furrowed brow.
What's going on with you today? You haven't slept in or even cried at the office since you were 9 years old.
How could I explain? There was no way he'd believe I traveled back in time. Bad dream, I guess? A really long, bad dream? I massaged my temples and slumped into the chair. What did Damon want?
Money. He had an investment opportunity.
Dad scoffed. I tried to recall the slide behind him, but the words were blurry. What was it? And why wasn't I invited to the meeting? Dad pulled at his tear-stained clothes.
I thought it'd be better to keep you separated. That boy isn't worth our time.
That boy and I have been broken up for years. I can handle seeing him in a professional setting, especially a board meeting.
Sweetie, you had trouble with a bad dream.
He pressed the intercom.
Cora, where are my spare shirts again?
Your car, I answered, crossing my arms. He grinned.
That's right, my genius daughter. That photographic memory comes in handy for a few things.
The tension in my shoulders melted away as I peered up at him. Dad, are you proud of me?
Of course I am, sweetie.
He patted down his jacket for his keys.
You're a beautiful young lady.
I rolled my eyes, but he was too busy leaving to see. Obviously, Dad loved me. He knew I was smart, hardworking. But how could I convince him I could lead? Scanning Dad's calendar, I rolled my nails across my lips. What other secret meetings were he and Todd holding without me? If I knew what was coming and didn't change the timeline too badly, I could lead projects with confidence and save Martin Enterprises. Yes, that was it. I strode out of the office with fire in my step, ready to change my fate. Instead, I crashed into my ex. Chapter 3. Another Chance. I braced myself on Damon's biceps, his palms burning through my dress. Goosebumps prickled across my skin, and I sucked in a breath. His scent leaned more towards cologne than the familiar, welcoming spices of his family's restaurant. He was staring. His lips parted, his brow furrowed. At the sound of footsteps, I jerked out of his arms. What are you doing?
I'm...
He flushed and spun around, adjusting his clothes just as my father's secretary joined us.
Hello,
he said, his voice strained. Cora's thick false eyelashes and narrowed eyes always gave off the impression she saw everything.
Mr. May.
She thrust a drink between us, forcing Damon aside.
Alina, I have your coffee.
Thank you. It was scalding hot. But at least drinking gave me an excuse not to make an idiot of myself talking to Damon. He straightened his spine and cleared his throat.
Is Mr. Martin here? We need to finish our presentation. If he left, then he is finished.
Cora spun around on her sensible heels and gestured for him to follow her. Instead, Damon stood his ground and glared at me. I covered my burned lips with my fingertips. Sorry.
Sorry? He seethed. You ruined my presentation, and that's all you have to say to me?
My chest tightened. I didn't ruin anything. Not yet, at least. I didn't even know you had a meeting until I came in this morning.
Really? How could you work here your whole life and not know when a big meeting is happening?
I shrugged and skimmed the rim of my cup with my middle finger. Maybe you're not that big.
We both know that's not true.
Oh, God!
I sipped my coffee and looked anywhere but his face, heartburn radiating from my knees to my cheeks. How have you been?
Good. He raised his chin. Never been better.
Good for you then, I said, toasting him with my cup. Why was he staring so hard? Was he hoping I'd lap up every word as he bragged? Grovel for him to take me back? Get jealous now that he was apparently doing better than ever, and I was a momentary mess? This aggression wasn't like him. In high school, he'd exchanged notes with me during class, delivered surprise meals to me when he knew Dad and I were held up with work, and stayed up on video chat with me until we both fell asleep. That guy grew up into this, I guessed. I crossed my arms and leaned against the wall. Are you even going to ask how I am? He mirrored my stance.
You burst into a conference room and looked like you were about to cry. That kind of answers the question.
Inhaling sharply, I drew back and headed for the office. Okay, bye. Great running into you again.
Wait.
His knuckles brushed my arm. Against my better judgment, I turned to him, the softness in his expression lowering my guard.
Are you okay?
He asked. I shrugged and wiped my cheeks. Was it obvious that I was crying? Or was he still in tune with me after all these years?
Is everything fine with your dad?
He prodded. For now, I guess. I rubbed the goosebumps away. Like I said, I'm sorry for interrupting your presentation. I was going to stay to make up for it, but my dad... Damon sighed and glared at the conference room.
He hasn't changed. After the board members finally settled down, that Todd guy sent me away. I thought if I could get Mr. Martin to come back...
Dad's not going to go against Todd, I scowled. He wasn't that keen on your investment anyway.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do. It never happened in the other timeline. But at Damon's incredulous, almost pained look, I backtracked. It's hard to convince him to change his mind on anything. He still thinks I'm 9 years old. After today, you probably think the same thing.
No, maybe 13.
I smacked his shoulder, almost sloshing coffee onto his shirt. Oh, sorry. Wait, no, I'm not sorry.
Aha. So you admit to sabotaging me?
He grinned. You're ridiculous, I huffed, hiding a reluctant smile behind the coffee cup. My dad probably still sees you as 14. Punk kid threatening his status as man of the house or something. He frowned and looked around.
Man of the house? This is a company.
Yeah, but we're also a family. He hung his head with a small nod.
I see.
Damon glanced at Cora, who quickly pretended to study a wall sconce.
Perhaps your interruption was a good thing. Our companies have very different philosophies.
Does the Gibbons Group prefer to lose money or something? I challenged. Snorting, Damon stuck his hands in his pockets and started towards the elevators.
No, but it's fine. If your dad had accepted our proposal or shown the slightest bit of professionalism, it wouldn't be as fun to beat you all in profits.
That's not going to happen. I was going to make sure Martin Enterprises would live up to my father's legacy. Damon cracked a smile and pressed the button.
Let's see. Worldcon is coming up. With their security, maybe I'll actually get to finish a presentation without anyone crying.
Except their tears of relief when it's over, naturally, I teased. He shook his head, hiding his expression as the elevator doors closed. I took another sip of coffee, savoring the rich bitterness on my tongue. Todd's Worldcon presentation had launched him towards replacing my father as CEO.
If I let...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?